This is RTI, Radio Tatras International.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Red on a very mixed weather day across Europe. Well, I'm in the best bit. It's Eric Wiltshire here, coupled with Lee Banks and Mark Gander in Paris. And we're going to start off with something specifically for Mark, who was the founder of one of the two founders of the Consumer Action Group. And it's off to the banking world because... actually, Lee, I should ask you how you feel first. Hang on.
Go on, then.
How do you feel as a shareholder, 41% stakeholder in Lloyds Bank? How do you feel about them making £2.21 billion profit today?
I think, in all honesty...
You must be as happy as hell.
I suppose I am really. Yes, I'm really happy about it. I think it shows the absolute paucity of what went on during that horrendous period over the last 5 years. And the fact that... this is a point I want to make very quickly. Sorry, Mark, I know this is your bay, but I just want to make this point.
You
have to remember, we touched on it last week, but it's been worked out that the average British family is roughly £100 a week worse off because of the price of food, fuel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Interest rates, because the bankers have suffered so badly that they've only got this £2.2 billion profit.
Right.
The interest rates are going to start to go up to try and control the economy that they destroyed.
Right.
Now, on an average mortgage, that's going to put £250 on top of your mortgage. That means that the average British family in a few months is going to be at least £650 a month worse off,
right,
and having to try and cope with things. This is absolutely obscene.
Yes. Yeah, so there's no doubt about it. And I mean, I have to say, you know, we need a profitable banking industry. But I have to say that, you know, what about fair trade? People are worried about sort of fair trade and you know, sort of ethical production and this sort of thing. But what about a bit of ethical production in terms of bank profits? I don't really see it.
Yeah.
They've made a £2.21 billion profit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, crikey, how could they not? I mean, it would take a genius, really, to start making a loss when you find that the bank rate is at 0.5% and that... You know, even just sort of basic loans are sort of 12%, and overdraft rates are still sort of 18-19%, and unauthorized overdraft rates are still over 20%. How could they not make profits? Yes, I mean, I suppose it's good news, but as far as congratulating themselves, the only good thing, of course, is that if they are becoming profitable, then maybe when the government sells it off, then we'll get our money back and a whole load more. You know, that's what one hopes.
You two did realize that, of course, within that figure, I can't remember how many millions, tens of millions it was, that within that figure they actually returned to the government this time, in 2010.
Is within that figure?
Yeah,
Are you saying that they've given part of that back to us?
No, they've already... the pre-tax profits are 2.21. Had they not paid back a huge amount of money... To the taxpayer in the UK, that figure would have been a lot higher.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Well, the reason I said it was obscene, and how many banks roughly are there in the UK, Mark? Do you know?
I really don't know. I mean, I'm sure there must be at least eight or so. But of course, Santander's gobbling them up one at a time. So.
Yes.
Well, let's say there's 10, and just say they all make roughly the same profit, just as hypothetically. That's 20 odd billion. Well, they could all keep £1 billion each and all give us £1 billion back, couldn't they?
But why should they?
Because they owe us money.
No, they don't all owe you money.
Well.
No, they don't.
They do. They cause the situation we're in, so obviously they owe us money. Even if they don't literally on paper owe us money, they created a situation that cost us a lot of money.
I agree with that.
I think you're right. I mean, I think in terms of the damage that they've caused, you could say they owe us money.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it would be incorrect to say they owe us money because obviously, I mean, we actually own them, so we've got that equity in them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But it's what they did, and the things like this are just obscene. All right, yeah, if you are a business person and you understand the ins and outs of everything, you can look at this and say, yeah, that's fine, that's doing us really good. But if you are the hoi polloi on the street, like what I am, look at that and say, that's just wrong. I am £650 a month worse off. That's almost an income to some people. I am that much worse off, and they are making that kind of profit, even though the world is on its knees, the banks are still capable of making that kind of profit.
But if the banks don't make a profit, the world stays on its knees forever.
I'm just being of the hoi polloi.
If the world, if you want the world to grow and succeed, the banks have to make a profit first.
If you accept that monetarism is the only way of life, yes.
Well, they listen, they do have to make a profit. But, I mean, don't forget that, I mean, only a couple of years ago, the sort of total bank profits being declared every year was something like over £40 billion. And, I mean, really, I think that the cost of that, the personal cost of that to so many people was just so extraordinary that, you know, it seems to me that the banks could quite comfortably have you know, maybe sort of given up even a quarter of that profit. So only, you know, what's wrong with £30 billion profit? You know, the only...
What's wrong with £1 billion profit?
Well, you could say, absolutely.
Because that wrecks the whole thing.
Really is, it's not about banking. The whole thing really is not about having profitable banking. The whole thing is about having stocks and shares that make money and that attract investors to keep on buying. And that's actually where the real business...
Correct. And being fair and equitable.
Well, it would be nice to be fair and equitable, isn't it? But, I mean, there's no sign that that happens, I have to say.
Absolutely.
The banking industry is out of control, and when they're back on their feet, I expect them to continue, once again, out of control.
Making
I don't really
profits.
Think there's going to be making vast profits, and I don't think there's going to be any serious regulation.
It's so like
just off the side of all this lot. So, if they make a big profit... Mm-hmm. Do the people who were bankers who die take the money with them, or does it go somewhere else?
Take it with them where?
Well, for example...
To the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably where all the money is. All Britain's gold's over there, isn't it? Yeah.
Because, for example, right, just humour me, because I'm a simpleton over stuff like this. I have no idea. I'm thick.
Forget about over stuff like this. Just stick at that one word.
Yeah, well, stick at the simple stuff. If a bloke makes £10 and spends £9 in the shops or somewhere or buys a house... or buys a car, or somewhere along the line gives it to his kids and they spend it, whatever happens, that money goes into some form of income to somebody else somewhere around the system.
Yes.
Now, if Mr. Eric Daniels gets £1.4 million bonus when he leaves, and providing he doesn't use it to stuff his pillow with, namely he uses it somewhere... then somehow or other that money goes back into the economy.
Yes.
Or am I being naive here?
No, you're not. No. You know, a lot of it gets siphoned off, but generally the actual...
even if they siphon it off, where does that go?
Well, there is something called a multiplier effect. And the idea is that the money goes round and round and round.
Yes.
So you save money, you invest it, and, of course, there are benefits to spin off from that, and that eventually goes up. And I'm not quite sure. I think there was a multiplier factor of 5. The idea is that until the money goes around something like 5 times until its effect becomes so... It's like ripples in a pond, and the effect becomes so faint that actually you would say that it doesn't cease to have any further effect.
Right.
So, Eric,
There is a caveat to this as well, and that's very simply, chaps. I'm sure we all realise that money doesn't exist.
Kind of true, really, isn't it? yeah, I like that. Anyway, I'm sure we'll return to banking very shortly. More on the...
the show's over.
Yeah, more on the silly side of life. A new survey has come out, which has been published in the British Medical Journal, that shows it's good to have a little drinky booze.
How are we doing that one?
Yes, we're there now.
Yes. Well, what would you like me to say? I think that's a brilliant thing to have suddenly been discovered.
Well, mine's a half.
Well, mine's my average daily intake. That's the thing, you know, because they say one drink can help keep heart disease at bay. Well, if you drink as much as me, I'll just live forever. I'm immortal.
It's only if you drink the half a pint a day. Anything more than that... is not beneficial.
I don't believe it. You see, my doctor asked me how much I drank, and I told him. And he looked at me, he says, that's far too much. You do realise that you're actually approximately 12 times over the recommended daily dosage.
Right.
On a standard, I thought, He said, the recommended government daily dosage says that you can have 2.5 pints a day.
Right.
So I thought, well... the government obviously will err on the side of safety as far as this is concerned, so that will be a very low figure. So the real figure will probably be about 5 pints a day, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're only having, if you're having 7 or 8 pints a day, you're actually only drinking a little bit above what is the daily recommended dosage, really.
Right. Well, I'll give you a little quote from the British Heart Foundation that says, drinking more than sensible amounts of alcohol does not have any protection and can cause high blood pressure, stroke, some cancers and damage to your heart.
Oh, dear.
Can I save up my half pint a day and then drink it all at the end of the month?
That's called binge drinking.
That's binge drinking, isn't it? If you binge drink every day...
No, not every day, just once a month. All you do is you drink your month's ration.
Hang on a minute, I just suddenly realised something.
What? Go on, then.
Well, when I worked in the city, I used to binge drink every day.
I still do. I still love it. I think binge drinking is an amazing thing to do.
We do not recommend binge drinking on Radio Tetris International.
Absolutely. I think we have to say that it causes a lot of problems for young people. And,
yes, it causes mental problems, health
but luckily,
problems.
Luckily, Lee's not young, so
that's all right,
any
then.
Young people who are listening to this, please wait until you're Lee's age and then think about what you're going to do.
Are living proof.
Actually, shall I throw a spanner in the works then, Mark?
No, don't.
No, actually, for those that partake and think it's good to partake, absolutely true story, because my partner wanted a new mobile phone and she wanted one of those snobby, what was it, Experian Sony Ericsson phones, because it's a bit like an iPhone, but slightly smaller. And they're not cheap. They're not cheap. The interesting thing is that having stopped smoking... In just one month... Sorry?
Have you stopped smoking now?
Yeah. In just one month, I saved over 200 euros.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Really?
Over 200 euros in one month. And I wish I could remember his name right now, which I can't. It's the guy who does the hypnosis and things. I've got one of his recordings. And it says, with the money that you save... from not doing excessive drinking, excessive smoking and all that sort of thing. Don't just leave it in the bank because you'll forget about it and it won't mean anything. For the first couple of months, buy something with it. Yeah. Because it will always remind you of your success.
Go out and buy a big tube and cigar to celebrate.
that's a very, very good idea, actually.
It really is. And I tell you, every time you look at that telephone, which my partner's incredibly pleased with because of what she wanted... there's two spin-offs to it. A, I've got some brownie points, but B, it also says to me...
Brownie fingers.
Yeah. It also says to me, look, lad, that's what you get if you don't smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Really quite powerful.
Yeah,
really quite powerful. Let's move on to some other silly stories. In the press this week, apparently cell phones are good for your brains.
That's the one I thought we were doing. I was all geared up for that. Then you did the alcohol one.
Well, that was before it. That's why.
Oh, right. My mixed. All right, then. Yeah, cell phones are really good for your brain, apparently.
I love this.
What?
For donkey's years, I've been...
The researchers from the National Institute of Health have found that less than an hour of cell phone use can actually speed up your brain activity. I bought Andrea 3!
yeah, but she's bought you 6 and it didn't work at all. do you know how many years I've been fighting the idiots who claimed that cell phone masks were killing you? Do you know how many years I've been fighting these people?
No.
Well, I've been doing stories on that for about 25 years.
Exactly. There's been this lunatic called Banks going, cell phone masks are bad for you. They can cause all sorts of cancers. And there's Eric on the other side going, don't listen to those stupid journalists. They haven't got they couldn't even put a plug on, let alone tune a push bike bell, let alone know about radiation from a tower.
I went to a place, it was down in Ellesmere Port. it was surrounded by electricity pylons various, you know, like cell phone things, stuff like that. Yeah. It was a gorgeous, beautiful little English village, right? Absolutely spiffing, thatched cottages, gorgeous little pub. Yeah. They had clusters of cancer on virtually every street, and it was put down to the fact that it was where the village was and what it had built around it.
Have you heard of a little thing called Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
Crystal Palace. Yes, of course.
You have?
You're so patronising.
Have you heard of a little place called Crystal Palace?
See, he's patronising again now.
The football team, aren't they?
That's been around since...
Tell little things. It's like carry on.
It's been around since the 1940s, if not 30s.
Tennessee Williams wrote a play about it.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, because it was probably boring. There is this little place, Ali Pally. The whole works there. Big towers, big transmitters. Yeah. They run high-power television and radio.
Yeah.
When did you last hear a cancer story?
Well, we don't really do cancer stories very much anymore. We only do good news cancer stories, which is that we're on the way to...
Excuse me. A cell phone mast is a tiny percentage of the power of something like Ali Pally.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. A tiny percentage. Yeah. When did you hear on the television there was clusters of cancer victims around the towers?
I don't know, Eric.
Because there hasn't been any!
It doesn't mean it's not happened. It means that you've just picked on that because nobody's said it's happened.
Well, they've had since, you know, like 70, 80 years to figure it out.
Yeah, but they're probably all dead now.
So why did it only happen? It's like years ago, this true story from South London. I wanted, in the early days of cable and wireless, I wanted to have to ditch my British Telecom phone and have a cable and wireless system.
Yeah.
They dug up all the paths and put the fibre optics in, did everything, and then the whole project just stopped.
Yeah.
And nothing was happening. Now, I did have the very fortunate position of being on a very influential radio station at the time with a regular show. So I gets on there and says, excuse me.
You used to be famous, you know, Mark. Eric used to be famous.
in my own lunchtime. And and I lambasted this company and said, I want, in South London, my cable connection to come on now, blah, blah, blah. I went rabbiting on about it for ages. Eventually, the PR people phoned me next day and said, will you shut up? I said, why have you stopped? And they said, there's a big campaign about us. I said, is there where? And they said, have you not seen it in the newspaper? I said, don't buy newspapers, pointless. It's like yesterday's news, no point. And I said, but what is the story? And she said, oh, they're in the newspapers.
You see all this tumbleweed coming across the horizon, Mark? Because he's not going to shut up, is he?
And do you know what the crux of the story was? Because they've been putting fibre optic cables under the path. It was killing all the trees in South London.
Well, there you have it, then. There's the reason that this is right.
Wrong, because it didn't happen.
What killed all the trees, then?
Nothing, because the trees didn't die.
Well, that's because they took the cables up, because they knew they were going to kill the trees.
But they didn't take the cables up. Nothing happened. They claimed that putting the cables in...
They just got lucky.
They claimed that digging the hole just deep enough for the fibre optics was killing the roots of the trees. Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why would the tree's roots wrap around the fibre optic and strangle?
Well, there is that as well. I suspect you have to ask your colleagues in the press, Lee, who obviously know more about...
Well, that's the next story, isn't it? We didn't do that one at the time, because some scaremongering person who was on a very famous radio station at the time...
Was lambasting.
...told us that all the trees were going to get killed by these fibre optics.
Unbelievable. I don't actually know how to approach this next story, because whichever way I come at it, it kind of looks a bit pervy.
There's something not right about it, is there?
Well, does anybody want to volunteer who actually found this story?
Well, I did.
You didn't?
It's not me.
No. What are you talking about, Lee?
I'm talking about, excuse me, you're making me cough now.
this is the one about the new flavour, the cherry sundae that's on, cherry top sundae, which is on sale at Covent Garden.
I thought I'd put that one out. Didn't I give you that one?
No.
Was that that one?
Yes. Boys and girls.
Maybe we both found this.
There is.
Crap pervert story.
There is a new ice cream for sale in Covent Garden. Mark, absolutely. It is made with.
If you're going as a tourist to London, May, and if you want to come back to your friends and say that you've tried something absolutely new that none of them have tried, then go to Covent Garden and try ice cream made from human breast milk. It's called Baby Yaga.
Looking for a self-service restaurant.
Get yourself a Baby Yaga, churned from donations from 15 women.
I think you got that slightly wrong, Mark. I think it's probably Baby Gaga.
Did I say Baby Yaga?
I think, yes. I think there's a play on words there.
Baba Yaga, actually. The Russian witch. You're quite right. It's called Baby Gaga.
Yes.
And apparently churned with donations from 15 women. I don't say whether it's a sort of, you know, a sort of subtle blend from the 15 women or whether they're... Anyway, whether they're all sort of single malts.
It's all right. Lee's applying for the job of chief taster now.
It just sounded an amazing story.
That's terrible.
Why?
Well, I suppose... Well, because that's a lot of money for a bit of... Well, you left me there to struggle, didn't you? You knew I'd come across a word that I knew I couldn't say, and you just left me there struggling.
I mean, it's an extraordinary thing, and apparently the founder, Matt O'Connor, who describes himself as an ice creamist...
Ice creamist when I'm off.
Well, no, maybe that's the name of the company, Ice Creamist. So look around for the Ice Creamist's, what do you say, gelato boutique, I suppose, Covent Garden. And he's placing an advertisement appealing for breast milk donations.
Yes.
Does he pay?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
He does. So you can go along there, Lee, and express yourself. Do you work for the Daily Express?
No, but I think Andrea's got two, hasn't she? She can go.
And he believes his new recipe will be a success, and they want £14, which is getting on for €20. I saw a video with it, and you get quite a large helping, and it's all beautifully presented.
Did he put it in a little cornet for you?
No, I think it's in a great big Sunday dish.
A Sunday dish, eh? Well, apparently, for every 10 ounces of milk, they donate to the company, they get £15 for it.
10 ounces of milk.
I don't know what 10 is.
How many ounces of milk does it take to make an ice cream?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but how many ounces of milk does it take to feed a kid?
I have no idea.
Well, I have to say, these kind of things cross my mind, because I must say that I'm sorry to sort of put the dampers on this kind of thing, but it does make me start thinking about the children in Africa or elsewhere whose mothers are so malnourished that they're not even able to produce any milk. And if we're playing this kind of game in Covent Garden, there's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm sure it's extremely interesting. I don't think I could bring myself to try it. But I have to say that I do tend to sort of ask myself other questions as well.
Okay. I think we should lay down now and say that we don't like this story, all three of us. It's horrible. And like you say, there is a moral aspect to it, which is a bit...
a bit iffy. We'll rattle on through the next two or three very, very quickly. Apparently, the Bank of England has voted for a rate rise.
Yeah.
Lee?
Yes. So watch out, you homeowners, you impoverished people.
We're about to be hurt properly. Yeah,
you're about to get it even more.
By the end of this year, remember, your mortgage is going to cost you £250.
British Gas has...
Society, and David Cameron would like to say, I'm just incredibly sorry.
Yes, British Gas has made £742 million profit as it puts prices up for householders by an average of 7%.
I would like to say, as the only person in Britain here... that I actually don't have gas, because the village that we're in, we don't actually have gas, but we do have electricity, which is supplied by British Gas.
Okay.
And my electricity bill this winter has gone up from an average of £15 a week to an average of between £40 and £45 a week.
Ooh, that seems a bit
now,
stiff.
The coldest winter we've ever had, where everybody's getting knocked left, right and centre financially, this, again, is just obscene.
Well, it's funny,
society.
Actually.
It's
a big society. I had to go really hunting for this next bit of information, but apparently, with the sales of solar panels, namely Sainsbury's, going the way they are now, 85 new jobs have been created at British Gas in Cardiff to actually support the products. So not all the profit is from gas or electricity. It's also from other things as well, but that hangs another story. £5 million of your stamp money from the Royal Mail is being spent on red rubber bands.
Well, I think this is... I don't know. Yeah, and it's £5 million on rubber bands, And how much it costs to post a letter now? That keeps going up.
You haven't understood the story. The thing is that this is actually all about cost saving. So that what they're going to do is they're going to use these to catapult the letters to you, to much, much more quickly, much more effectively, and first class really will mean first class. Just watch your windows, though. That's the
absolutely.
You're right. That story.
Apparently, Rolls Royce are to show off an electric car very, very shortly. But apparently,
sorry to interrupt, but you know where they keep it. You keep it in the boot of your Rolls Royce.
Ha 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 ha. Apparently,
what car did that? Where you had a car in the boot?
I think the Mini was originally advertised, buy one to put in the boot of your Bentley.
That's something like that, but they actually did it, didn't they?
Well, actually, being launched at the Geneva Motor Show, which only came into the office this morning, there's going to be a new Jaguar launch with 550 horsepower, which will do a top speed of about 300 kilometres an hour. My word.
That's really useful. That would be fantastic.
That'd be really, really kind of powerful.
But that's good around here. Yeah.
But there's going to be
able to launch the next space shuttle.
Exactly.
Just point it upwards.
And Land Rover will present its greenest model ever, a new hybrid Range E, which is a diesel hybrid with a plug-in tech as well. So you're about to see those at the Geneva Motor Show, which is very, very shortly as well. We've probably got time for just one more. Life goes on after death with memory boxes.
Well, I think that's quite interesting, actually, don't you? Because it does fascinate me that when you think we obliviously spend part of our lives now putting everything about us on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, we put photographs, we show our families there. But once we die, what happens to that? Is that going to be? Does that become like a digital ghost? Is that something that will keep us alive?
I've experienced that one with a great friend of mine who used to be on Tomorrow as well. Funnily enough, where he sadly passed away due to cancer last year, and there was a slight problem on Facebook because anybody who knew Guy would know he's a really lovely fella, and he was on the internet all over the place, great pioneer of everything digital. And it was a case where things that would happen on Facebook were kind of like a bit painful for the family. And eventually there was a group of people discussing it and actually saying, has anybody got Guy's password so we can take this ruddy page down? Well, actually, I don't think they should have done. I think they should first of all discuss it with the family, because the family may wish to leave it there.
Well, that's it. It could actually be a really good tribute to a life.
It could be if you think about, what was the thing they used to do? They used to put them in those metal things and bury them in the ground, like a time...
Yeah, time capsules.
That's it. Well,
there's actually a mate of mine who set up a company. I'm not going to say who it is, because that would be unfair. But he set up a company, and what he's actually doing now, you can record messages for your family and keep it in a digital vault, but you can also put bits of ephemera, etc.
This could be the perfect time capsule for God knows how many years. Anyway, on that happy note, we've got to leave it, boys and girls. Time for you two guys to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
We'll see you next week, boys and girls. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.